No man can lift himself by pulling on his bootstraps. But can a mean man change his nature by self-effort and determination? I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about doing the impossible. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today, I'd like to make religion so real and practical that even little children will be able to reach out and lay hold of it. I'm sure that I speak to those who are not Christians as well as those who've been in the way maybe for a long time. I'm convinced that there's not a soul listening to this broadcast but feels some lack of spiritual life and power in his life. I couldn't find a better place to begin than Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What a powerful promise that is. One of the most beautiful Jesus ever gave. He said, if you want anything, you must come believing and ask for it, and then accept it by faith, and know that it's yours because it's been promised. Now, friends, I find here absolutely no reservation on the part of God. What a promise it is that Jesus invites us to pray, believe, and accept it from him. All of us have had some experience in doing this, I'm sure. We know what pardon is. We know what forgiveness is. We know how to receive the forgiving grace of God, don't we? We claim the promise by faith. And the promise is over in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's the only way any of us were ever cleansed. We came to him by faith, we prayed the prayer of faith, and we said, Lord, now I'm confessing, and you said you would forgive. Then we got off our knees with a wondrous sense of relief and forgiveness, knowing that it happened because he said so. But how did we really know that we were forgiven, friends? Did we ask God to prove that he'd done what he said? Did we demand some physical sign, some emotional, ecstatic feeling maybe to show us that we'd been forgiven according to the promise of God? No, of course not. We just accepted it by faith. When God says he'll do something, we must not doubt it. And when we meet our condition of asking and believing, then he'll certainly do his part. So we rise from our knees, knowing that without a shadow of doubt our sins have been forgiven. All right, we call that justification. That's the word we use, the theological word. It's simply the cleansing away and the blotting out of all our past transgressions. But listen, that's only the first beginning part of salvation. Why, that's just the first kindergarten step, you might say, in order to really follow the Lord Jesus from earth to heaven. There are much deeper things for us to understand. We can't live on that level of justification alone for the rest of our lives. We can't live by constantly falling into sin and then praying for forgiveness and falling into sin and praying for forgiveness. That's not very satisfying. You see, salvation is both a cure and a preventive. The gospel forgives, but the gospel also empowers. And here's where multitudes of people have failed to understand. We must have faith and claim the promise of forgiveness, but we must also claim the promise of God's keeping power so that we will not continue to fall into those sins. What a beautiful text we find in Luke 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And don't you ever doubt that, friends, that God is able to give you the victory over every sin. Don't ever concede the necessity of falling into transgression. You don't have to do it. There's power with God to save you from sinning and to keep you from falling into that same old pit, day after day, week after week. Now, this is what we call sanctification. That's another long theological word. It's that constant revelation of sin to us by the Holy Spirit. It's a day-by-day experience, and it will require a lifetime for God to point out all of our sins, perhaps. If God should show you every mistake, every weakness, every sin in one moment of time, you would be crushed by discouragement. You wouldn't feel like going on any further. You'd probably give up right there and say, well, there's no hope for me anyway. But God doesn't do it that way, friends. He will reveal your sins and mistakes to you just one at a time. Today, you'll get a flash of revelation. The Holy Spirit will show you something that's wrong. Tomorrow, he may show you something else. Next week, you may get another revelation. And this is a lifetime process. But now listen, friends, let me ask you this. Does God expect us to take a lifetime to overcome the sin once it's been revealed to us? Absolutely not. The revelation of sin may come all during our lives, but when we know something's wrong, we can get the victory over it immediately. God has instantaneous power to deliver you from that sin. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think some people have done it the evolutionary way. I think some people have probably outgrown sin or worn it out or something. They finally got the victory over it. But I'm telling you, this is not God's perfect plan. There's a better way. And that way is for Him to give you the victory the very moment you know you've sinned. What about that promise in 1 Corinthians 15? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verse 57. Notice it's a gift. Victory is a gift. The victory you have over temptation and over any kind of sin is a free gift from Jesus. And you must receive it by faith. Now let me give you a text to support this wonderful truth. I know it's a little bit startling to some people to think they don't have to keep on falling into sin. Sometimes we've come to the place of just sort of taking it for granted that this is a necessary part of growing up into Christ. That we have to keep on falling into our transgressions until gradually, maybe over a period of many, many years, we'll taper off and finally quit. I remember a woman who was brought to Jesus once who had been taken in adultery. It was an obvious transgression. The men brought her there and presented her to the Lord and said, "Here she is, Lord, we caught her in the very act." And do you remember what Jesus said? He said to the woman after He had dismissed her accusers, "Woman, go and sin no more." He didn't say, "Go and taper off on this sin," did He? He didn't give the slightest indication that she could gradually wean herself away from that terrible wickedness that had fastened itself on her life. He said, "Go and sin no more." And with the command, He gave power also to overcome. Now, if Jesus could do that for one woman, what could He do for us? Do we think for one moment that we must keep on sinning in order to give God an opportunity to exercise His grace? I think some people feel that it's almost necessary to just sin once in a while in order to give God something to do. But Paul denies that this is necessary at all. In fact, in Romans 6, verse 1, he says exactly the opposite. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now notice the question. Paul says, shall we sin once in a while so that grace will have a chance to operate in our forgiveness? And his answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh no, God was telling the truth when He said, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. If you need victory over sin, come to Him, ask Him, and believe that He gives it to you. In that very moment you'll have victory. Do you believe that, friend? It's true. You don't have to wear it out by your human effort and struggle. You can't overcome sin. You're not as strong as the devil. He's always stronger than you are. None of us are that strong. Only God is stronger than Satan. If you get the victory at all, believe me, it's going to be given to you by Jesus. You're not going to win it by your effort. Since it's a gift, you need to receive it. Hasten to get that victory because it's very much needed. Now, I'm not saying that you will not have any temptation. Of course, you may indeed have temptation and have to struggle with sin. But I am saying that you will not be left hopeless. You will get the victory over because the promise has come that He provides the power. You have to exercise faith in the promise and in the power that He gives to you. Well, friends, the purpose of this broadcast is to help you find that living God as the answer to all your needs, and especially to bring that justification and the sanctification that we've been talking about on today's broadcast. God is revealed through the Bible, the written Word, and that's the basis of every one of our daily broadcasts. And that's why we use the Bible as the only great source of truth. Now, our information folders are Bible-centered also. In fact, our daily broadcast is filled every minute with an explanation of this great book of God, the Bible, as it applies to the last days of this earth's history. We've talked a lot about Bible prophecy here. We've talked a lot about the practical experience of overcoming sin and of growing in grace and really becoming victorious Christians. I hope, in fact, that all we present here is so practical that even little children will be able to understand it and lay hold of it. Now, these 12 information folders that I mentioned a moment ago cover some of the greatest prophecies and doctrines of the Bible. If you haven't written for them and started studying that series of interesting folders, I wish you would write a letter today and request one of them and begin on it right away. Folder G is one that would be very good to start because it deals with some of the material we've presented on today's broadcast. So maybe when you write, you could ask for Folder G and begin your study of these 12 folders. When you finish, you can send back the summary sheet and another one will be sent to you immediately. Now let me give you our mailing address here at Amazing Facts. It's Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, zip code 21701. I'll give that again in just a moment, so I hope you'll get a pencil and be ready to write it down when I give it. Our message today has touched on one of the great topics that's dealt with in the information folders. And I told you that you should write for Folder G. And I know that'll be an interesting way for you to get into these 12 folders. Probably one of the most confused doctrines in our modern permissive society has to do with the definition of sin and the responsibility for sin. You know, really, this is an age of rationalization and excuses. Murderers, rioters, and thieves are analyzed and explained. And it's claimed, as you very well know, that they were the victims of environment or a misguided society or nation. You see, everybody's ready to blame somebody else. In fact, always ready to blame the other one, rather than the person who's really guilty and the one who committed the crime and did the wrong. The fact is, friends, that we have just about come to the place where we call good evil and evil good. And I think a lot of it has been based upon this permissive liberalization that's come into our world and into our society just in the last few years, to a much larger degree. Of course, we've always had it with us. But I think recently in law enforcement and the judicial systems of our courts, we've come to probably give more leniency to the criminal than we give comfort to the victim. And one of our greatest needs is to see ourselves as God sees us and understand His requirements as they really are. There'd be no confusion if we took the Bible as it reads. Even if men were willing to accept the Ten Commandments at face value, most of our national and international problems would resolve almost overnight. 99% of personal problems and I believe most of the other problems of the nation would be instantly solved if the great law of God were accepted in all its simplicity. And I've never met a man who could not understand what the Ten Commandments were saying. But I've met many who wouldn't obey it because it didn't fit their feelings and desires. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.